to episode 45 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape 1 minute at a time. Once again, I'm Rob. And once again, Tom is still in the cooler. Hopefully, Von Luger will let him out on Monday to rejoin us. Until then, I'm going to continue discussing this movie minute by minute with Tyson Ferris, filmmaker and caster. Welcome back, Tyson.
Ahoy. Ahoy.
All right. Minute 45 begins with night falling on the compound and goes all the way till Danny jumps into a started tunnel to continue digging. So yesterday we were talking about the fact that the fade-in that they now have shown us that, you know, before we were dealing with something that happened during the day, and now we're starting to look at things during the night. You know, during the day they're starting this tunnel, but at night, something else. First of all, we get to see the spotlight of the German guards. You know, see that they're doing something, like, you know, just checking to see what's going on, if there's any sounds or whatever it is. And then we get to see inside the barracks where we see the, I always call him pipe guy with mustache. He's looking out a peephole from the barracks. You'd think that you know, that's something that someone would actually notice later on. You know, if you cut a peephole, you know, in the doorway, there would probably be light that would shine out through it in the middle of the night. And even when you plug it up with the cork that he has in his hand, I'm not really sure it would be the most efficient thing to do. Then he signals to the other pipe guy, who, what he does is, you know, he signals along. And everyone's just looking around. Cedric walks in. He's got something very strange under his coat, which, again, it's quite strange that, you know, he's walking around with such a burly coat. Almost summer months, I guess you could say. It's probably May or June at this point. In a few weeks, we'll discuss about the fact that, you know, it's July. It'll be mentioned that that's the end of it. So my assumption is here it's late May, early June, something like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that there's not a lights out ordinance, you know, that's enforced at night on the camp.
Well, we know that they forced them to close up the windows so that the light doesn't shine out.
Sure.
But do they have a lights out time? I'm not sure, because I think once you bolt up the windows, you don't really need
to... Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
I mean, this isn't sleepaway camp. It's not like they have to get up for anything in particular.
That's true, yeah.
You know, unless you were right from what you said at the beginning of the week, that they have, you know, forced exercise time.
Sure.
You know, that they all have to get up at 6 a.m. for roll call and a quick, you know, stroll around the compound. You never know. Then Cedric opens up his coat and takes out a slab of concrete, which Charles marks. Then they pull off the grating in the bath area or the shower area. And it happens to fit in perfect. I mean, this is amazing, the measurements that they're able to take. I mean, they're not able to measure the distance of the tunnel properly, but they're able to cut a piece of concrete perfectly with whatever tools they're actually using here.
Yeah. Now, do you think they took this concrete from another place, or do you think they somehow made their own mix and like set it themselves?
You ask a great question.
I would almost, for believability, I would guess the latter.
Yeah, I would think so too. It would be hard for them to get enough stuff to create the slab.
Yeah.
So my assumption is that they actually were able to somehow take it from somewhere else. But again, they cut it perfectly.
Sure.
You know, so if they could cut it so well, then why did, you know, yesterday we discussed trying to break into a concrete slab. Why didn't they just cut it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like, yeah, you'd take the concrete from under the stove and then use it here in the washroom, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the perfect thing to do.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yes, I don't know where they would have got that.
Yeah, I almost wondered if they could have made the themselves, and maybe it's not actually concrete. It's more kind of a, you know, they're using dirt from the dirt and water and, you know, letting it dry and kind of,
yeah,
almost like brick making. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, No,
so they could have. But it does look very concrete like. But you know, I don't know. I'm just
all right. Well, all right. Here in the novel, I can actually read you from what they said there. So they discuss about the fact that the tunnel, that the three tunnels were Tom, Dick, and Harry. So this is Dick, where it says they devised one of the most cunning trap doors in the history of prison camps. The concrete floor of 122's blocks washroom was an iron grating around 18 inches square through which overflow water ran into a concrete well about 3 feet deep. A foot up from the bottom, a pipe led off to carry the water away. So there's always about a foot of water in the well to the edge of the pipe, which makes sense with what we see here. Took the iron grating while the stooges watched outside, bailed out the water, and mopped the well dry with oil with old rags. He chipped away one wall of the concrete well, where the soft earth just behind, just ripe for tunneling. He cast a new slab to fit where the broken wall had been. Slipped it in, sealed the cracks with soap and sand, put the grating back on top, and sloshed water on top. So according to this, they actually created, they found a way to cast concrete.
To make some concrete, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so all right, so I was kind of on the right track.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, that's very interesting that they did that. Because you'd think that, you know, to me, I mean, I've never made concrete. So I don't know what ingredients you need, but whatever you need, my assumption is you're not going to find them in a prison camp.
I've done a little bit of concrete stuff, you know, mostly for like fence posts and stuff like that, just to anchor them, you know, so nothing too technical, but, you know, you can get those, it's a dry mix that you add water to, you know, and there's, I think there's some lye involved.
But you're not going to have those in a prison camp.
But you know, there's the occurring. I know, like with brick making, which you know, you can do that with just earth and water. There's not even a mm-hmm. process that's okay. happening. So, so I would imagine you could.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I think it's in the realm of possibility that you could. I mean, it'd certainly be hard, but, you know, once again, it's not the easy escape. It's
that is true. That is true. If it wasn't.
And these guys got nothing but that time. So, yeah.
I just want to back up one second. When Cedric walks through the barracks, you see a number of prisoners actually playing. You have, you know, you have a checkerboard that some of them are playing checkers with. You have one, you have two of them with a deck of cards. So I love Dale in this movie. You know, even all of these extras are given things to do to make it seem like they really belong there. And these are characters that someone's just walking right by them. You know, they're not really.
There's nobody in this shot that doesn't have a piece of business. Do you know what I mean? Like they're all doing something.
And that's amazing that they're able to do this. I mean, Sturgis did such an amazing job with so many extras that they still had to give each of them something to do to make them seem useful. I wonder if it was something that they consciously did or they just said to them, okay, you guys are all here. Pretend that you're, you know, bring tomorrow, come to the set and bring whatever you think you're going to need to be able to pass the time at night.
Yeah.
You know. So one guy brings a checkerboard. Was it?
Yeah, I don't know if they left. Yeah, I don't know if they left it up to them or if it's like, okay, you're sitting on this bunk and you're watching two guys play checkers. You know.
No, it's just fascinating to think about it. That you know, again, this is someone's just walking by them. They're not even doing anything. Yeah. You know, we can't see what game, what you know, what the checkerboard really looks like. We see what they're playing with the cards or anything like that. Just the idea is that. These props are there.
Well, and it gives it a lived-in quality. Completely. You know what I mean? It's there's life in this camp going on while these guys are doing this
completely,
which I really like.
No question about that. So when Danny puts the block in, you can actually see the slicks that they built into this sewage area. You can see a hammer sticking out of one of the holes in the wall within there. So that there's also a place for them to hide it. So I wonder how high the water, I mean, based on what I read from the book, there's only, you know, it was a foot as opposed to 3 feet. So you'd have to have the water covering the hammer, because otherwise anyone who gets curious, and even if something just gets stuck, whatever it is, they need to be able to get away with someone not seeing what's there.
Yeah. I think there's a moment later where we actually see him seal it up and throw water on it, don't we?
On Monday, we're going to see that.
Oh, there we go. There we go. So,
yeah, that it's momentarily happening. It'll be seconds after you leave us.
Yeah.
But and it's also interesting. It's fascinating the way that he is able to he has like a key in his hand that he uses that to pick up the slab so that he can actually easily take it out.
Yeah, they fashion like this very specific tool just for this purpose.
Which you can see that something gives him as he's giving him the slab. He gives him also this, I guess, some sort of Allen wrench or whatever you want to call it. So
yeah,
because you see him holding it in his hand when he hands it to him. It's something. It looks like a corkscrew in some ways, or a corkscrew handle at least.
Yeah, it's not too dissimilar from what he uses to pick up.
Yes,
you know the tile base.
Yes, that he did earlier this week. Yeah,
yeah. I guess for that reasoning, I always had that the tiles are hot from the, you know, so he can't touch them from the stove. But then here it's because it's literally so tight that you can't get your fingers around
it. Right,
because
it has to be so tight. Yeah. Because if it isn't tight enough, the water that goes in
won't hold the water.
The water is going to be in the tunnel.
Totally.
You know, but the idea that you have to that they have to mop up all the water each time, that's also time consuming, but
sure.
But essential in order for them to eventually use that here. And then he basically, Charles Bronson, jumps into the tunnel and gets ready by taking out the hammer, which looks more like a tomahawk than a hammer.
It does. And he's got a chisel, too.
Yes. Again, the question is whether he's got a real chisel or he just has something to use as a chisel.
Yeah.
Because the fact that it looks like a tomahawk means that it could be something that they fashioned themselves.
Oh, yeah. That's what I assumed.
Yeah. You know.
And speaking of chiseled, Charles Bronson.
Yes.
The guy is ripped.
No question about it.
But I was like, Charles Bronson taking care of himself, you know, but it also works for the character. This guy would be ripped doing what he does. You know what I mean?
That's why he's a tunnel king. But then again, but Willie isn't. So,
yeah, that's true.
So maybe it's, Tunnel King 1 needs to be and Tunnel King 2 doesn't need to be.
That's,
you know, maybe that's the way you can look at it. Right. So all week we've been discussing this and I haven't asked you what's your history with the movie?
I was shown this by my dad when I was a kid. Probably early teens, I'd say. I think I ended up watching this. It was with my dad and my grandfather really liked this film, and he was a POW.
Oh, really?
In World War II. Not this theater. He was with the Japanese, which were not as nice as the Germans.
And he openly discussed that happened to him there?
Somewhat, yeah. He talked to me. We learned later that he talked to me about it more than he did anybody else. So we were pretty good buddies. So yeah. So I've told stories to my dad that he never heard from his dad. So
wow.
Anyway, but yeah, he. If you know the film Empire of the Sun, he was in that same. He was in the soldier side of that same camp. So,
oh wow! And he got to see a young Christian Slater, Christian Bale, not Slater, run through the camp.
Yeah, well, he he remembered seeing that that raid.
Oh wow!
On the camp with the P-51s, and remembered. It struck him very, very much when he saw that that film. That he's like, oh, he goes, yeah, because of that. Wow. I remember that happening.
Wow. That's amazing to hear.
Yeah, which is pretty wild. So yeah, I could go on. I could go on for an hour talking stories that he had for. But yeah, he was shot down. He was actually run, and they were supposed to get this particular. It was a train yard, and they're supposed to get this particular locomotive out of commission. And they had decimated the train yard, but failed to hit the locomotive. And they were on this particular run. They were in P-40s, which they're part of the Flying Tigers, which had a big shark mouth on the nose, and those planes were great at bomb runs, but they're heavy and slow, they could dive like a son of a gun. So you would go in hot and heavy and then drop your bombs and then skedaddle, you know. You never came back around for another pass.
Right.
And he goes, nope, we got to get the locomotive. So he turned around, and that was not a good call. He did end up blowing it up. Got shot down in the process. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. So that's my Connecticut escape is, I had a grandfather who was a POW as well. And, he very much liked this film.
Well, because as we've mentioned, the guards here are much nicer than they were in the Japanese theater.
Oh yeah, this I'm sure was escapism for him.
Exactly. You know,
he was getting strung up by his thumbs and caned. Oh, wow. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So, anything else about this minute or this movie?
Just a fantastic movie. I'm really happy to be a part of these minutes, and I think it's great that you're doing this. And wish you all the best. And can't wait to listen to the minutes I'm not part of.
All right, great. I'm gonna one final time tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Yes, Real Jaws, The Real Jaws Minute, and Bad at Movies. Check us out wherever you can find your podcasts.
All right, excellent. And while you're doing that, go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher they might be using to listen to this podcast. You can send us an email, thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. And you can add us on Twitter @greatescapemxm. Have a great weekend, everybody. And hopefully Tom will be back with me on Monday. And until then, tally-ho!
Tally-ho!